good to see everybody out this evening. Like Rick said earlier, we do have a good crowd out. This evening, I'm going to talk about, or the lesson I've decided to talk about this evening is God is trying to tell us something through tragedies. You know, we've all had tragedies around us. Sometimes they're on a daily basis. Lives can be cut short. People who are traveling are not expected to, have an accident, and they do, and they may not make it. And we just don't know. School children, things like that. But God expects us to learn from tragedy. He's trying to tell us something. There's a warning in tragedy. There's motivation in tragedy. And there's also remembrance in tragedy. couldn't help but think about 9/11, Oklahoma City bombing, things like that. But there's many other things that we can call tragedies where there were lives that were lost unexpectedly. Well, number one tonight, we must learn that life is fragile. Life is fragile. Life is like a vapor in James chapter 4, verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We must remember that we are only here for a short time. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. You know, we don't talk about death much because we enjoy living. But death will come for us at some point in time. We have no idea what tomorrow may bring. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, Proverbs 27 and verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Most of us, we like to make plans on a daily basis, but we should say, Lord willing, we can do this or that. In James chapter 4, verse 15, James 4 and verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. We cannot control the length of our days. In Luke chapter 12, verses 19 and 20, Luke 12, verses 19 and 20, and this is the parable of the rich fool. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? You can have all the possessions in the world and still not be right with God. Things on this earth, it's just temporary. And we can't take them with us. The rich fool wasn't expecting to perish at that time, but his mind wasn't right either. We all have a purpose of why we are here. Most of us are trying to find that purpose. The second thing this evening, our time is limited for service. In Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at verse 14. We're going to start in verse 14. Kind of a lengthy reading here. Parable of the sower. Matthew 25 and verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another one each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. Verse 21, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Verse 22, also the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Like I said, the first two there in that parable, the first two did what was right. They doubled their talents and pleased the master. They pleased the master, but the last servant hid his talent. He did nothing with it. He was called wicked, lazy, and slothful servant. They gave his talent to the one with ten. And then, like I said, in verse 30 there, he was worthless. He was considered worthless and cast into outer darkness. You know, we don't want to be found worthless or lazy or wicked. None of those things. We want to do something with our talents. Second thing, all of us have been given talents and opportunities. It's up to us and how we respond. Most of us could agree that we have missed some opportunities. We have missed some opportunities where we could have made a difference, where we might have made a difference if we had only asked the person that we wanted to go to talk to them about God and his message. But some opportunities, like I said, we've missed those. Have you dealt faithfully with what the Lord has entrusted with you? Have you dealt faithfully with what the Lord has entrusted with you? You know, like I said, in the reward of the 5 talented, he doubled his, and he got more responsibility put on him. Will you find yourself trying to make excuses when he comes? In verses 24 through 31 there in Matthew 25. And I'm going to ask just a few questions, and you don't have to answer them. Just for your own thinking here. Have you taught that neighbor? Have you uplifted that brother? Have you supported that good brother in a faraway land? Have you relieved that widow or orphan? Have you visited the sick and shut in? Do your children remain untaught? Have you studied the Bible? And did you attend that service? Or will you simply have to say, "Well, I was going to"? How often do we hear that, "I was going to," and that never happens? What are you going to do with your time instead? What are you going to do with your time instead? You know, when your time comes to an end, there's no better way to be found by God but doing the work of the Lord. No better thing that we could be doing. When he comes, I only hope that we're doing the work of the Lord. You know, life is fragile, and we want to be found doing God's work. We want to be found doing God's work and obeying his will. Third thing this evening, our time to deal with sin is limited. Our time to deal with sin is limited. We must deal with sin. Because what do we know about sin? Well, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We must repent and turn back to God. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Also in John chapter 8 and verse 34, John 8 verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." We don't want to be a slave to sin. We must try and stay righteous. You know, there are terrible consequences for failing to deal with sin. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. When I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, from his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know, a plan has been given for dealing with sin. A plan has been given to us for dealing with sin. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Also Mark 16 and verse 16. Mark 16 verse 16. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Well, it sounds simple. It sounds simple what we must do. But for someone, you know, it's hard to turn their life to God. It's hard to when you're living worldly, it's hard to turn away from that. Satan offers fun and only for a short time, though. But you can turn your life to God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." These must be acted on now. These must be acted on now. Do not wait. Do not put those things off. They must be acted on now. You know, the present time is stressed in Scripture. The present time is stressed in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, it's too late. It's too late after we die. It's too late after we die. We can't change. We can't change anything. We get one shot at life. After death is judgment. Hebrews 9, verse 27. After death is the judgment. Like I said, we just got one chance at this life, and we must make it count. Next thing, the saddest thing of life cut short is that there are no more opportunities to obey the gospel. No more opportunities to obey the gospel. So we have seen the urgency. We've seen the urgency to share the gospel. I've heard some say, oh, I will take care of it next Sunday. Or maybe thought that, and that Sunday never came. And what a sad state. You know, I wonder how many have said, I will repent tomorrow. I'll put it off tomorrow. I'll repent tomorrow. But we may not have tomorrow. We may not have tomorrow. So don't put off what you can do today. If you're thinking about someone that has walked away from the church, or even someone that's curious about the church and been asking questions, just seize the opportunity to talk to them. Seize the opportunity while you can. The worst thing they can tell you is no. You know, there is a life to come in which there is no tragedy. There's victory. There's victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 51 through 57. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised. Imperishable. We will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can be thankful. We can be forever grateful for that we have victory in Jesus. In John 14, verses 1 through 3. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And that is very encouraging. In closing tonight, how are you affected by tragedy depends on us. How we're affected by tragedy, it depends on us. You know, and I think we can follow Job's example on this. Job, in Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He never once blamed God. Like I said, we must follow his attitude. He lost everything. He lost everything and never blamed God. Are we hearing the message of God in tragedy? Are we hearing the message of God in tragedy? Do you realize life is fragile? Do you realize it? Do you know your time of doing God's will is limited? It's limited. Do you know that your time of dealing with sin is limited? And have you been reminded of the life of the victory to come? So the lesson is yours tonight. If you haven't become a child, if you haven't put Christ on baptism, or if you are a child of God and you've walked away from God, don't wait. Don't put it off. Whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitations.